April 25th, 2019, there was an article in the New York Times, and the journalist, Niraj, writes, Americans are among the most stressed people in the world, according to a new survey, and that's just the start of it. Last year, Americans reported feeling stress, anger, and worry at the highest levels in a decade, according to the survey, part of an annual Gallup poll of more than 150,000 people around the world, released on Thursday. Why is this? Why are Americans the most stressed people in the world? I pondered that, and it actually was curious to me, because if you know anything about Japan, I don't know the word, but they have a word for people who, while walking down the streets to or from their job, drop dead. They're so stressed that they literally drop dead from the stress. As far as I know, Americans haven't quite reached that level, but according to this survey, I think the way that it was written, or the survey was given, one of the questions was, in the past 48 hours, have you felt stress, anxiety, or anger? And Americans, over, I think, 55% said that in the past 48 hours, they indeed experienced one of those emotions. And so there's something going on in society. People are, I don't know if we're more stressed than we were 20 years ago, but apparently in terms of comparing ourselves to other parts of the world, we definitely are. And we'll unpack a little bit of this as we go through the message, but people do, I think, seek to alleviate their stresses in some way. And I think maybe one big area of stress is that of school and of work. I think even when I think through the college application process, things were a lot easier in my day. I mean, now you actually have, if you're not aware, there's like celebrities and rich people that basically bribe their kids into good colleges. And now some of them are spending time in prison because of what they did. It's a stressful world, often for students. It's a stressful world for those of us in the workplace. I think expectations are higher, hours might be longer, just a lot of dynamics going on. I remember back in my New York days, New York's a little bit of a stressful environment, and at a certain point I was bivocational, which meant I worked. I had a secular job. I worked at Bank of America in their corporate office, one of their corporate offices, and I also pastored and was ministering in the church. During that time, I remember, especially because of the bank job, things could get really stressful. We had a lot of deadlines, and it was long hours. And I had a solution that I tried. Fish. This is an African cichlid tank. African cichlids are a type of fish from Africa, basically from Malawi and I believe Tanzania. They are the most colorful of the freshwater fish in the world. And I didn't have the money to afford saltwater fish, because saltwater fish can be like $50 a fish, and they're not that hardy, so they die, and so if a $50 fish dies, it would break my heart. These fish aren't that expensive, and they live forever. I had fish literally that lived over 10 years in my tank. But in the midst of my stress, I would go home to my small apartment in New York, and I would plop on my chair. I think I had a futon, because that was my bed and my couch, and I would just look at the fish. I would look at those fish for like a half an hour, just trying to de-stress, because they're just so peaceful. I don't have a tank anymore, but I think you can actually like go online and you can put it as a screensaver or something like that. It's actually a lot easier. But we do live in a stressful time, and there was stresses, I think, throughout history. And the Apostle Paul today speaks about worry and anxiety. It's a familiar passage, but I think it's worth looking at and thinking through, especially during this 21 days of prayer, as we seek to draw closer to God and to give him all of our worries, burdens, and cares, that we may not have so much things that are distracting us and pulling us away from our relationship with God, but that even in the stresses that we have, we can draw closer to him in our relationship with him. So let's read together Philippians 4. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So, the Apostle Paul was writing to the church in Philippi, and that's right up here. At the time, it was called Macedonia. The Apostle Paul was led there through a vision or a dream. He was praying, and there was this someone in their vision that was saying, come to us in Macedonia. It's in Acts. And Paul went there, and I believe it was the second missionary journey where he basically planted the church there. And so this is the time of the Roman Empire. It's actually, as I was doing a little research on Philippi, it's actually a little bit interesting. It's known for a battle amongst the Roman elite. Many of you, I believe Julius Caesar, we all know, right? Julius Caesar. He was assassinated by Brutus and Cassius, I believe. And then Julius Caesar's, it was his adopted son Octavius, who became Caesar Augustus, battled with Mark Antony, Brutus, and Cassius, and won the battle. So these are all familiar names to us, but that was what Philippi was known for. And when Octavius eventually, 20 years later, became emperor, he established Philippi as one of the shining jewels of the Roman Empire. And so this was a very important city. It was a cosmopolitan city. This is an architectural rendering of what the center of the city would have looked like. Sometimes when we look at the, you know, currently we look at, if you would take a tour, we would look at Philippi and we'd see a bunch of, you know, ruins, and we might see a Colosseum that still is intact. But it would have been quite a striking city, and it was a very important city for trade, and it was a city that that the Apostle Paul shared the gospel and helped. I believe it would have been considered maybe the first European city that the Apostle Paul shared the gospel and established the church in. And as we look through the passage then, the first thing that we see is a command. But before we get to the command, I'm going to give you a little quiz on a song, which probably most of you were not born when this song was on the airwaves, but do you know this song? I'm not going to sing it, because then you'll know it for sure. Here's a little song I wrote. You might want to sing it note for note. Don't say it. In every life we have some trouble, but when you worry, you make it double. And another lyric, ain't got no place to lay your head, someone came and took your bed. Well, that's pretty low. Someone took your bed. Does anyone know this song? I know David knows the song.
Don't worry, be happy.
It's a Bobby McFerrin song. I think it was 1998. So I know for some of you is a little ways away, but I think they still play it on the radio. You know, it's a kind of a catchy little song. But people were stressed out then. You know, Bobby McFerrin is kind of laid back. And actually, the thing about this song, it reached number one on the Billboard Hot 100. And it's the first song ever to actually reach the Billboard Top 100 that was an a cappella song. No instruments, just him singing. So, you know, check it out sometime. The Apostle Paul said it in another way. He said, do not be anxious about anything. Do not be anxious about anything. And so it's kind of the same thing, but I do think it's a little bit different because, in a sense, Bobby McFerrin is saying, don't worry, be happy. And he is kind of giving a command. Don't worry, be happy. Like, you need to put aside your worry and be happy. In a sense, it's a command in two respects. Don't worry and be happy. But I think it's kind of hard to just force yourself to be happy. I don't know if you can just like, okay, I'm stressed out. I'm going to be happy now. I'm going through hard times. I'm going to be happy. I think that's difficult. But the Apostle Paul, I do think, is encouraging us to not worry. And it's actually more than encouraging. It is a command. He says, do not be anxious about anything. It's not, you know, don't be anxious sometimes about anything. once in a while, you know, when you're kind of stressed out. I said, don't be anxious, don't be worried, don't be stressed out about anything. I think this is a message that we need to hear in our society at this time and place now, as we seek to live out the good news, but also as we seek to live our lives in the environment that we live in. There's a lot of different aspects to why people worry, why you and I worry, and I've already mentioned career and school. I mean, even what's the state? There's a saying like you will never eliminate prayer from schools, no matter how hard the government may try to eliminate prayers in schools, as long as there are exams or tests, because students will pray, God help me, I didn't study, help me, I need to get an A on this test. Finances. I think finances are maybe a big reason why a lot of people are stressed today in our society, because they're having a hard time making ends meet. But we can give that to the Lord. Future. As a student, what's my future? What schools am I going to possibly go to? What's my career? You know, these are all kind of questions that everyone has to wrestle with, and I kind of felt like I was going through like a midlife crisis through much of my 20s. I wasn't even midlife yet, just because I was trying to seek God's will and to try to wrestle with what God wanted me to do. Did he want me to be a banker? Did he want me to be a lawyer? Did he want me to be in ministry? So I had to spend a lot of time wrestling and praying, seeking God for the future. Family. Is anyone here part of the perfect family? No stress, no conflicts, peaceful all the time. Probably most of us are. It brings stress. But I'm encouraged by these words. A.W. Tozer is a great American pastor from Chicago back in the 50s and 60s, and he writes, "The universal presence is a fact. God is here. The whole universe is alive with his life, and he is no stranger or foreign God, but the familiar Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, whose love has for these thousands of years enfolded the sinful race of man." And this touched me because our Father loves us. He loves the world, and he's the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, but he's also our Father. We're called to pray our Father in heaven, our Abba, our Daddy in heaven. And so this is an encouragement in terms of bringing everything to God in the midst of our worries, cares, and concern, because we have a Father who loves us, not only who loves the world, but who loves us personally, and so we can take encouragement in that. A solution. Paul offers a solution. Well, people have a lot of their own solutions. The number one app, at least on the iTunes store, App Store, is an app called Calm. I think it's a meditative app. It's an app that will help you to kind of unwind and soothing music or whatever. I don't know that much about this app. I don't necessarily have anything against soothing music and trying to relax. I would, without really knowing that much, I didn't do research on the app, but a lot of these apps are actually very, very Eastern and very Hindu in their orientation. And so if the app is trying to get you to empty your mind or trying to help you to be one with the universe, that's an indication that it's actually seeking to promote or to draw you into an alternative worldview than the gospel. Now, there are some Christian apps that are like this, and there's probably some apps that just guide you through relaxation, but I don't have anything against relaxation techniques, but just be careful. But these are really, really popular right now, given the stress in our world. And there's a new thing. I just read this week. Lego has a new market, stressed out adults. There's adults that are, and actually Lego loves this, because, you know, when you buy a kid a Lego set, it's probably like the $9.99 one, 200 pieces. Adults buy the Star Wars, whatever, you know, what's the Star Wars ship, or the Millennium Falcon or something, and that's like 20,000 pieces, and it'll cost you like $200. But this is a means that people are finding they can kind of work with their hands and let go of the stresses and cares of life. We're stressed out. But what is the solution Paul gives? He says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation. So he's talking about any time we begin to get the feeling of stress or worry or anxiety, no matter how big or how small, in every situation, God wants us to come to him by prayer and petition. Well, we all know what prayer is. Prayer is talking with, communicating with God. We have that privilege as believers, as children of God, to go to our loving Heavenly Father, as I mentioned. And we go with thanksgiving. We begin with thanksgiving. Our lives are to be marked by thanksgiving. It's not just necessarily coming to the Lord in prayer at one point in time, thanking God that he hears us and answers our prayer and will answer our prayer and will hear our prayer, but that we have this attitude of thanksgiving throughout our lives. I think I've shared with you, I had a friend named Bill back in college. Bill, more than anyone else, exemplified thanksgiving and praise in his life altogether. Everything he was praising God for. It was actually to the point of annoyance, because we would be playing Ultimate Frisbee. Yes, we did play Ultimate Frisbee back in the 80s. So you'd be against him, and then, you know, their team would score a point or whatever the score is. And he'd be like, praise God. Everything was praise God. It's like, I'm not praising God. You scored against me. But then someone would score against him. He's like, praise God. That was a good catch. So he would encourage, you know, the opponent anyway. So, but anyway, you know, I think I learned from him that we are to have this attitude of praise and thanksgiving at all times. And in our thanksgiving and praise, in spite of our difficulties, we present our request to God. So again, we bring everything to God, no matter what it is. Any concerns that we may have, we're called in every situation to bring our prayers to God. I think maybe that can be a little difficult for us, because sometimes that might not be our natural inclination. Our natural inclination may be to continue to think about and to worry and to stress. I think one example that came to mind is if you have something that physically is wrong with you. Like all of a sudden you get a pain in your side or something, you know, like there's some shooting pain. So of course, where do you go? Not to the doctor, not initially. You have to go to the internet. And then you read everything on the internet, and of course, it's probably nothing. Probably, you know, a doctor would tell you in 2 seconds, okay, it's whatever, you know, just rest, put some hot compress on it or cold, whatever. But in the internet, it's like, oh, you have some advanced form of cancer. And then you begin to worry. And then by the time you actually get the appointment to see the doctor, you're just a mess because of what you now think may be the problem, of which it's probably not even a problem at all. So I think oftentimes our thoughts go to the worries and our minds kind of just take us to places that we shouldn't. The internet probably doesn't help always, sometimes. But we're called to bring our needs and concerns to the Lord. And sometimes when we bring our needs and concerns to the Lord, we don't even know how to pray. We may be at a loss. We may have a family member who's dying, and we just, there may be no hope, and we're just, we don't know what to pray. But we can be encouraged, because in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And so we can be encouraged that the Holy Spirit himself is interceding on our behalf and groaning and praying on behalf of us. So even when we don't know how to pray, even if we don't have the words to pray, we can be encouraged that God knows our situation and God cares, and the Spirit is actually seeking to help us as he brings our request to God. Finally, the result. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And so this peace of God, and the common word for peace in Judaism is shalom. And that's a peace that we have with God and a peace that we have within our families and within our communities. And so when we do come to God, we can experience this peace which transcends all understanding. When we're going through a difficulty and we pray, hopefully you've experienced this. Just something that God begins to work in our hearts, and though we should be worried and stressed, he actually calms us and helps us to experience his peace. This wasn't the exact house, but I lived, I counted, in my 15 years in New York, I lived in 7 places. When I got married to Grace, we lived in one place for like 7 or 8 years. But as a single person, I was always moving and changing roommates and trying to save money. This is a house in College Point. It's just north of Flushing, if you know New York at all. I lived on a top floor. It's like a cookie cutter house, and they're old houses. And I bring this up because when I moved to New York right after seminary and was called to the church, I wasn't making very much money, but, you know, I was wanting to serve the Lord. So I lived in the basement. They had a finished basement in the parsonage or where the pastor lived. But after a couple of months of that, you know, I really needed to get out, and I had a potential roommate. And so we were praying, and God kind of opened up a door from a member of the church who had this house, and they were going to rent us the upper level. So praise God. And we kind of made an agreement. And that night, I couldn't sleep. I was just so at unease and stressed. And I mean, I thought this was God's answer to prayer. But as I began to pray and I lift this need and concern to God, I can't say necessarily that I received, you know, something in my ear, but I just really got the strong sense that this was the wrong decision. And then I knew I had to go back to the member the next day. But when I decided I would do that, then actually God's peace came upon me, and I could rest. So this is just like a experience I'm sharing that, you know, sometimes we things come up, or God may even bring the unsettledness in our spirit. But when we pray, God can give us this peace that transcends all understanding. And like I said, I actually lived there because we were able to renegotiate kind of our terms of our lease, and they had an extra room, which his sister kind of needed anyway. So we took less of the floor, and the price went down, which was more in my budget, and I had the peace then, and, you know, lived there for a little while, and I, you know, still have a, you know, good memories, and still, you know, keep in contact with my old roommate. So everything worked out. But, you know, if we bring our request to God, God will answer and can and will give us the peace that surpasses all understanding. As I was studying this, though, the interesting thing that in my reading is that the peace that passeth all understanding isn't necessarily just for us individually, but it's for us as a body. And actually, usually when Paul speaks about experiencing God's peace, it's not personal peace, which there is this personal aspect, definitely. But there's also a communal aspect. And as we know, you know, the church in the Roman Empire at that time, you know, was under a dictatorship. Caesar Augustus and other Caesars after him, you know, they were under the facade of being a republic, of being a democracy, but really they had iron fist control. And so, you know, if it's a benevolent dictator, it's fine. Augustus, I believe, was known as one of the better Caesars, but then later on Nero came along and he began to persecute the church, and he was a really bad guy. So the leadership just of the country could be bringing stress. Herod, I'm sure, brought stress to the Jews and Christians in his time, in his era. But also, you know, there was persecution, and there was persecution that Christians faced from Jews, and they had church squabbles and interpersonal relationship issues. But in all of that, God, as we pray, as we come to the Lord in prayer personally, but also as a body, God desires to give us this peace, this shalom, in the midst of our spiritual community. And I think that can really be a powerful testimony to the world, that when we have difficulties, when we have problems, God can work in our lives supernaturally, and hopefully they can see a difference, but also God can see the difference in the life of our church and the life of our Christian community. And hopefully that can get them to think a little bit about the reality of God in this world. And so what do we do then to live it out? Well, when you begin to feel worried, anxious or stressed, take time to pray. It's as easy and as difficult as this. I think it's difficult because maybe this is not our first inclination. Our first inclination when things aren't going well is for our mind to race, for our thoughts to wander, for our heart to be tempted. But God desires that we pray, that we bring our needs and concerns to Him. And this peace of God will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. The guarding of the heart is basically like a garrison or a military unit that's literally guarding our hearts and guarding our minds, that our minds just don't continue to race in all of these different directions. But God can give us peace knowing that He has a, as He reveals to us and He gives us encouragement, that He does have a plan for our lives. So we're encouraged to pray. And when we pray, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank You for Your word. We thank You for this encouragement from the Apostle Paul. And I think many of us know this verse. We've probably memorized it in our Sunday school classes. But help us, Lord, for this truth to go from our minds and our knowledge into our hearts and our lives as we seek to pray, as we seek to lift all of our needs and concerns to You, Lord, as individuals, but also as the body of Christ. And help us indeed to grow closer to You as we journey through these 21 days of prayer. In Christ's name, amen.